Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Success Is Podcast, where we uncover the stories and strategies behind achieving true success in life and business. Today, we have the privilege of sitting down with a remarkable entrepreneur and visionary leader. I'm delighted to introduce Mike Kelly, a seasoned professional who has left a mark on both corporate America and the world of personal development. With a distinguished career that includes serving as vice president at Macy's, where he was a leader in learning and development while fostering a culture of growth and empowerment. Beyond his corporate achievements, Mike has dedicated himself to coaching, speaking, and volunteering. As a certified financial planner and registered life planner, he helps individuals define their dreams and construct tailored financial plans that pave the way to true freedom and fulfillment. Today, we'll explore Mike's entrepreneurship journey, uncover the pivotal moments that shaped his career, and delve into his insights on achieving personal and financial success. His passion for empowering others through knowledge and guidance is truly inspiring. Join me in welcoming Mike Kelly to Success Is Podcast. Mike, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Hey, thank you, Phil, and thank you to your audience as well for listening in and having me. I look forward to our conversation today on a topic that, in my opinion, is not discussed enough, and that is success. So I love the title of your podcast, Success Is.
Yeah, and I was amazed to read your book, and what is the opening chapter? Define success. And so I'd really like to kick it off with that. So how would you define success, or what does success mean to you in your life?
Success, defining success for me was a journey. Getting there initially, success was the five P's, which is something that I hadn't even consciously defined. And basically it was pleasure, prosperity, power, prestige, and position. And so often that is in our society what success is put up as. I realized that that really wasn't success for me. And through some pain, I actually ended up defining success for myself as becoming all I'm created to be and helping others do the same. So my definition of success really is being of service to my family, my community, and the world. And through that, hopefully someone will be able to take that next step and do the same thing for others. So that's, for me, a success. And that's not totally dependent on how much I have or what I don't have. It's really more about impact.
Absolutely. And I went through a similar journey as well. You know, coming from somebody that was one of seven, incredibly poor, I thought, well, hey, success is money. Like, that's it. That's got to be it. And then reached that point in my life where I said, well, wait a minute, that's not it. What else is there, right? How do you help people with their journey and help them define success and what success means for them?
Through questions. One of the quotes out there that I really adopted personally is by a guy named Doug Larson. He says that wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. So for me, asking questions and getting a better feel for what matters most to people. And really, when they think about what they want in their lives, what do they want? Why do they want it? What are they willing to do to get it? What is it going to take to get it? How will they feel when they get it? And who's going to hold you accountable for getting it? And asking those questions lead to some really interesting conversations, because one of the things that I did not think about a lot when it came to defining success for myself was the fact that we're here for a limited period of time on this earth. Literally, you know, we've got a 75, 76, 80, whatever that length of life is. So while we're here, we want to make sure that we're investing our time in a way that really matters. And to do that, we've got to step back and think about what this journey really means for us. And that's not only true when it comes to your family, it's also true in business, because you have a number of listeners here who are business owners, small business owners, maybe large business owners, corporate leaders. We want to have an impact in our business, in our organizations, and an impact that is hopefully lasting. And that is beyond the bottom line, which is really important. But even beyond the bottom line, we want to have an impact. So we got to define what success is for us. And spending that time or investing that time early up front can lead to some tremendous things.
Absolutely. And something that I've used personally in my own life is what I call different buckets, right? To help my goals and dreams from being too limited or too narrowed on one thing, specifically business and financial. It's always a kind of a priority for me as an entrepreneur. And so to make sure I have balance in my life, I focus on these different areas. In your book, you reference the wheel of life, the seven F's of future achievements of faith, family, fitness, finance, fun, firm, and friends. Did I get all those right?
You did. You okay. Sure did.
Can you tell us a little bit about those and how you use those?
Yes. Well, part of my story is hitting the wall. I hit the walls with Michelin, French-owned tire company. And I, quote unquote, was having success. You know, I was getting accolades. I was getting compensation. I was getting opportunities. But I was literally working myself to death. During that period of time, I talk about this in the book, I gained like 30 pounds. I wasn't sleeping well, wasn't a very good husband. I probably wasn't a very good boss, but people did not tell me that I wasn't. And I'm not sure why not, but probably because they were afraid. But anyway, I was working 15, 17 hours a day. Loved my job. Great company. Loved my job. I'd gotten experience in marketing, sales, finance, HR. Had an opportunity to do some project management work in Europe. Well, during this time, I started to have headaches. They're just pounding. Wasn't good. I kept running to the doctor to try to get some help. But ultimately, after a scan of my head, and I won't tell you go through that whole story for the sake of time, but at one of these appointments, he said, hey, we need to scan your brain. So they scanned my brain and went back for that. Got the results back. The doctor looked at me. He said, there's nothing wrong with your brain, no tumors or anything like that. He said, but you are under severe stress headed towards depression. Well, literally, I'd hit a wall. And that led me on this journey of self-reflection and finding out what really mattered to me and really getting on the right path, which is the name of our business, Right Path Enterprises, the coaching consulting business. And then that led to me really evaluating those seven F areas, faith, family, fitness, finances, fun, from friends, and the context of my definition of success, my purpose in life, and creating a mission statement that aligned with that purpose. And I really started to take a look at how I was doing in those seven areas, rated myself 1 to 10, wasn't doing very well in most of them. Work, I was doing fairly well, firm. And I realized I needed to change. So I actually started to prioritize those areas. What matters most to me the least? And I set goals in each one of those areas. And then I actually started to take steps moving forward. And I didn't only set goals. I thought through my goals along this line. I set a goal, SMART goal. Then I thought about, okay, what's the advantage of achieving this goal and the loss to be avoided? Thought through that. And then I thought about, okay, as I'm going after this goal, say losing 30 pounds, what are some of the obstacles? What are some of the things that could get in the way? One, well, I love to eat. I didn't exercise enough because of time, but those are some of the obstacles. For each one of those obstacles and the others, I listed solutions to those obstacles. And then I started with action steps. What am I going to do to move forward? Who's going to hold me accountable? But through that process, I was able to live my life in a way that was more balanced. I love the idea of the buckets, and I was more intentional, and that changed things for me. And it actually, that's one of the reasons I'm able to sit here with you today and share a little bit of my story because of that revelation.
So I want to move a little bit into the financial aspect of your career, financial planning. What did you see missing in the world of financial planning that you decided to get into and kind of make your mark in there?
Well, fiduciary, focus more on the client than on the advisor. In our business, the financial advisory industry, it is a great industry. It's a wonderful industry. The industry offers a tremendous opportunity to help people. Unfortunately, oftentimes we work harder at helping ourselves than our client. So I saw an opportunity to step into this industry and do it in a way that allowed me to be objective, client-focused, unbiased. And I do that by offering hourly, fee-only financial planning and advice. I don't sell any product whatsoever, no stock. I don't trade any stock. I don't take custody of assets. I don't sell insurance or anything else. I just build comprehensive life and financial plans for my clients. And when we do that, and clients take action on those plans. And regarding the investment side, which often comes up, I don't take custody of assets, as I said, but with my clients, I instruct them to just get passive index funds, a total stock market, total bond market, total international. We'll set an asset allocation and just let your money do its work. So you avoid that 1% ongoing fee that you would pay me if I had custody of your assets, and you invest in funds that are almost free, 0.03 on some of those, 0.05, and you're able to live your life. We should keep financial planning simple, because every time someone takes an action, someone else makes money. So my goal is really to be objective, client focused, and do it in a way that allow me to serve my clients and that allow my clients to achieve their goals. But we also get in the goals and spend a lot of time on what are my clients looking to achieve. Because you know this well, if you're a business owner, corporate leader, no matter what you're doing, nonprofit person, you can make a lot of money, but that money can be gone overnight. A lot of times when I speak, especially with young people, I will share examples of professional athletes, artists, actors, business leaders, and others who have made a lot of money, millions, but they've gone broke. So we've got to determine what matters most to us, and we've got to live a life aligned with that. The way that I work allows me to really have those types of conversations with clients in an objective way.
Yeah, you know, it never seems to be the money coming in, right? It's always the money going out. And I'm sure you've seen this, right? It's people's expenses always end up rising to the level of their income. And I would see that all the time. Someone start off part-time making close to minimum wage, and then they get promoted, and then they're making $60,000, and then they're making, you know, six figures, and they're still living paycheck to paycheck all along the way. And it's incredible to me, and it all comes back to not having any sort of budget or financial plan. Mm-hmm. And I'd be curious to hear what common misconceptions people have about financial planning and that you address with your clients.
Well, a lot of people they've been burnt. They have pain. They might have tried and they had a bad experience. They were put into an annuity or something happened, the annuity that wasn't right for them, or someone took their money and they trusted this individual and their money wasn't where they thought it was, or someone's making trades in their accounts that they hadn't authorized. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on and on. So for me, most people see financial planners as quote unquote car salesmen, you know, lower down the list when it comes to professionals that you can and should trust. And that is something that I see, but I also see, and quite often, people, we haven't been trained on money. Very few schools, very few universities, or even organizations that have tons of people working for them train us on how to manage our money. So financial literacy is at a low, really, because you don't understand what it means. So financial planning, you might even think, you hear the word financial planning, well, that's beyond me. I don't really. I'm not someone who qualifies for that, but everyone deserves a financial plan. So that's another misconception. And the other one is, you know, well, I've got to make sure that I look the part. So if I go to a financial planner, I am not going to be able to live this life that is not real, because I'm going to have to put money away. Spending is a lot more fun for most of us than saving. So a lot of people will avoid it, even if they know they need a financial advisor. So for us as financial advisor, we have really got to find ways to build trust and focus on what matters most to our clients, but certainly be transparent with them and honest and let them know whether they're on the right path or not. And then if they're not, let's help them build a plan to move forward. And if they are, what happens so often, I find, is that when people save and they get accustomed to saving over many, many years, they have a struggle then spending the money that they've saved. So that's the other side of this coin too. At some point, you've got to be able to spend down some of your assets and not just spend it, you can give it. I mean, there are so many other things that you can do with it, but you want to create memories and you need help with that as well. And that's where a financial advisor can come in. You know, it's not just saving money, it's helping clients develop a better relationship with money. Then at some point in their lives, hopefully if they've done that, they can spend it. Financial literacy, the last thing I'll say here is financial literacy is something that I'm really passionate about, and I'm doing more and more work in that area. In underserved areas of our city and businesses as well, doing financial literacy lunch and learns.
Oh, and I think that's a big part is that education component. And you continue to see the poverty in the areas because there continues to be no financial literacy education in those areas. You know, and you talk to a lot of the people in these poverty stricken areas, they're looking for a windfall. That's why lottery targets those specific areas. They don't realize that windfall is very temporary. It's not long term. It's fake. It's fake money. It's going to be gone. And so I absolutely think there's a need for financial education, not just in poverty areas, but all across America. I think there's a pretty big gap there. So
yeah,
I think
that's Phil. Why don't you think there's a big movement to educate us on the basics of personal finance?
Why do I think there isn't?
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope it's not to keep certain people spending in consumerism. I mean, I think there is a level of that, right? You know, if people didn't realize that they, you know, didn't need to spend above their means, keep up with the Joneses and all that stuff, they say that there would be a, you know, basically a cripple the economy. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, this is one that I think about a lot after having worked in retail, now being on the financial side of things. If you think about what's happening with social media and all of the messages that we get on a daily basis, we get tons of marketing messages. And if just, I would say just 5% of those were really around saving and thinking long term, using a telescope more than a microscope, those types of things can be helpful. But in my opinion, our economy is based on consumer spending. If we think about what happened during COVID, the spigot shut off. We think about what happened during the last Great Recession, the spigot shut off. And we had a lot of incentives around reducing rates and interest rates and tax-free shopping holidays and things like that to get people spending money again. Our economy is built on consumer spending. And consumer spending is not bad. What was bad when it becomes a problem for us, when we become addicted to spending and we start to do something you just talked about, in my opinion, spending more than we make. I mean, if we don't have a budget, if we don't have a plan, Jeremy Kent says, no plan plus no action lead to no results. So we all need some sort of a plan, because a plan can sort of serve as this benchmark or something that allows us to be aware. And hopefully that'll lead to better decision making when it comes to money and life as well.
You know, I saw a graph the other day that was talking about the price of things that have gone up over the years, and inside that graph it also had wages. You know, as wages have gone up over the years, well, there was a significant spike in two categories, and they were education costs and textbook costs for education. So basically both in the same realm. And if you have thoughts on it, I'd love to hear your thoughts on why that is. And do you think we're ever going to see any relief in that in the upcoming years, or is it just going to continue to spike up the cost of education?
There are a number of different theories or things that we could certainly think about when we think about the cost of education. I know as a financial advisor, when we use an inflation factor for education, that's much higher than the average inflation rate. We typically use a 2.5% for normal inflation projecting out. But I think with education, if I remember correctly, it's 5+. And that's getting higher and higher. So there are a number of reasons for that, in my opinion. I'm not an expert on this. I am on the board of a university. So I do serve on the board of a university, and this is something that we talk a lot about, and it's something that we are working to manage. But as the cost of everything else goes up, the cost of education goes up. You got facilities that need to be updated constantly. And if you're adding students are expecting more, they're expecting better. And the only way to do that is to get the money to pay for it. So how do you do that? Most universities aren't factories. So they don't make widgets, and they can't turn up the dial and make more widgets to get money. They've got that revenue comes from students and student services. So part of the reason, in my opinion, that we are seeing an increase is because things are changing and people want to make more money. So you got to pay your staffs. And as you get more students, you need more staff. And the cost, it's just, there's so many factors to this. And what the answer is, I am not sure. One of the challenges that is on the horizon now, and it's an opportunity as well, we're seeing more students and people who are college age, they're deciding they're going to go to some of these community colleges or vocational schools. And there are tremendous needs out there when it comes to skills that you don't necessarily need a college degree to actually get. And many, many employers are looking to hire people right out of these vocational schools and community colleges, and many of them have a waiting list. So in my opinion, that's probably going to level the playing field to a degree. But I am a proponent of college. I really feel that college is an investment that will give you a return, technically speaking, depending upon what degree you go after, if you are able to go out and then do some of the things we're talking about when it comes to success. And like success is attracted to you by the person you become, as Jim Rohn says. And he also says, work hard on yourself and you do your job. And education is like that just the baseline for you, but you got to build on that over time. We got to be lifelong learners. Those are my thoughts around education. It is a complicated, complex topic, and there's no easy answer for this, but yes, escalating cost of education, it is an issue.
And I just wonder if there gets to a point where the cost of education exceeds the ROI on it. And some of these individuals start looking at it, because there's got to be a supply and demand factor to that, right? And if in the future the ROI is not there and the demand decreases, I think it would, I don't know, that's my guess. I'm not an expert on the subject at all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, education, in my opinion, teaches us how to think, not what to think. And that's what I loved about the university I attended, Mars Hill University, Asheville, North Carolina, small private school. They taught us what to think, how to think, not what to think. They gave us just tons of liberal arts university, tons of exposure to a lot of different areas. And those areas, as I think back to my own experience, helped me, who was a poor guy, grew up in small town in South Carolina. There was six of us in a 4-room house. We didn't have running water. We didn't have a car. We walked everywhere. So getting the opportunity to go to college and to go to a university like that, that challenged my thinking, that stretched me, getting a business degree, then later getting a business degree at another university, as I look back on that, teaching me how to think, in addition to the things that my parents certainly supported me on and helped me with, but then going into that environment and being stretched and exposed really helped me. And some of the stuff you can't quantify. The hope is, yeah, we'll be able to quantify it, but some of it you can't quantify. And in an environment that we're in today, being able to think is so important, and think for yourself and make your own decisions and being able to reason. It is so important. And we've got AI on the horizon. If we're not careful, we're going to have systems thinking for us. And in my opinion, that could be dangerous.
Absolutely. Yeah, I could have a whole podcast dedicated to that subject. So absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit about your book, Leader Fluence. So on top of all of the other things you do, you found time to write this incredible book. Could you share with our listeners what inspired you to write this book and a little bit about it?
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you, Phil. I'm actually working on another one. I've got about 115,000 words. So I'm working on another one as well. But with respect to Leader Fluence, the thing that inspired me to write the book was my own story. And I shared a little bit of my own story with you. I realized through that experience that it's important for us to take more of a strategic approach to life. And I also realized that what I experienced wasn't an isolated situation. I realized after I had gone through that there were other people who were having the same struggle. And I see some of that now as an executive coach. And I see that as a financial advisor, that people are trying to figure out life. So for me, taking more of a strategic approach to life is something I realized was important. And during the 2020, when we had George Floyd and all COVID and everything else going on, I realized, okay, now's time to do this. So I actually started writing and I wrote the book. And the focus of the book really is on beginning with the end in mind, which is something we've heard from Cuppy out there. But it's thinking about at the end of your life, if you're looking back over your life, what do you want to see? Getting that picture in your mind and then thoughtfully taking more of a strategic approach to life, beginning by defining success That's a really important one. And then questioning what we were led to believe, because all of us come to the table with conditioning, past conditioning. I certainly did, based on my experiences and my family, my community, my church, school. You see the world through a certain lens and you have certain habits. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. You don't really realize what they are, but you got to realize how they're impacting you in your life. Those that aren't positive, change them. Those that are, you want to do more of those things. So questioning what we were led to believe, and then thinking about your purpose, which is what at the end of the day, what would that look like at the end of my journey? Why am I here? But also the vision, which is what that will look like. And then the mission. I find that very few people have a mission statement. I did not, and I speak quite a bit. And when I often ask the question, how many of your companies have a mission statement? Most people, their hands will go up in the room. But when I ask how many of you have a personal mission statement, normally it's about 3 to 5% of people have a personal mission statement. So getting a personal mission statement, my personal mission statement is to use my God-given leadership, analytical, financial skills to help my family and others grow to become all they're designed to be while continuing to grow myself at the end of the day. So once you get that mission statement, setting goals in those areas of life, the 7 F's that we talked about, and then taking some action on those goals. And at the end of the day, you want to celebrate success. So it's really taking more of a strategic approach to life is one of the reasons why I wrote the book. My desire is to help my family and others understand the importance of doing that, living intentionally. And that's why I wrote the book.
So you just mentioned it there, celebrating success. I'd love to hear another chapter of your book. How do you, Mike Kelly, celebrate success?
It's something I struggle with. And I talked about that in the book. I am a guy who likes to achieve as a business owner, entrepreneur, even as a corporate leader, community guy. Hey, let's go make it happen. Let's achieve some things and let's move on to the next thing. Because I enjoy being in the game. But I have learned that when I take the time to celebrate success, which could be playing golf, I enjoy golf. My wife and I, we travel. I even see community service as some form of celebrating success. And it could be as simple as having a nice dinner somewhere, but just taking the time to reflect, be thankful, then consider, okay, where do we go from here? Taking the time to do that can be really, really helpful and really can inspire you on the higher levels of quote unquote, success. But it's something that I continue to work on, Phil, and I will be working on that probably the rest of my life.
Yeah, I get it. Same. All right, Mike. So those interested in following you and keeping in touch with what you have going on, how do they do that?
Well, you can find out more about me at Right, like Take the Right Path Enterprises, R-I-G-H-T, pathenterprises.com, or Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, financialplanning.com, my consulting business, then my financial planning business. And I'm also on the social media platforms. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook and on Twitter. And we have something on Instagram, Right Path Enterprises, not as active there, but I'm out there and you can probably Google me and find some things as well. But I'm always open to talking with people who are looking to really achieve their dreams of success. And if they're not clear on those, let's talk about what that might be for you, because I'm always happy to help people identify what matters most to them and then develop a plan to achieve it. But I really appreciate you having me, Phil. I've enjoyed our conversation and your podcast is spot on. Success is. It's so important that we take the time as leaders, entrepreneurs, again, or corporate leaders or in leaders in any endeavor, to find what success is for us and live lives aligned with that, but then help other people do the same.
Absolutely. Inspiring everybody. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for sharing your incredible journey and wisdom with us today. For our listeners, remember to stay connected with us for more engaging discussions with industry leaders and experts. If you found value in today's episode, please be sure to like and subscribe, leave us a review, and share this podcast on your network. As always, success is not just about reaching your goals, but about the growth and lessons you learn along the way. Until next time, keep striving for excellence and pursuing your own path to success. This is Phil Portman signing off. Thank you for listening.